Blog Talk Radio.
Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and let's see if we're having better luck today. Mr. Fantasy's supposed to be there. Are you there? Are we going to have to go through this again? So, I as you know, we had this issue with Dan yesterday. Let me see if I can fix it again before we get rolling into topics here, and we shall see if this helps out. But if you want to give us a call, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. So if not, you can email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. That's not good. So anything else you need, get yourself over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, the front page is the blog. You can check that out. It will be new tomorrow. So, but from sportstimeradio.com, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. While you're over there, like that for us, please. And, of course, the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed is at Sports Time Radio. Mr. Fantasy and I are both on Twitter. I am at Burke Time, and let's see if he's here. Mr. Fantasy, you there?
Yep, I'm at Mr. Fantasy Sports.
There we go. Yeah, for some reason, when I bring in people on originally, it's not letting them in, and I have to refresh the site to get you to come in, but I had to wait for everything to kind of reload before I could get us going. But there, we're up and running and everything's good. The chat room is also open if you would like to jump in on that and talk to us, and I will do my best to keep up with everything. So, but I'm sure you've been keeping up with Tiger Woods and the British Open, or if you're in the know, they just call it the Open.
Yep.
So I'm sure you know how he's doing. Yeah, that's what I heard. Was he barely made the cut, but Rory is out to a relatively substantial lead. Rory McIlroy is 12 under after two rounds, and has a 4-stroke lead over Dustin Johnson. So we will have to see if Rory will be able to hang on. I am searching here for Mr. Woods. I am substantially down the leaderboard. Here he is. He is 2 over and tied for 56th place, excuse me. He was on the last number that made the cut. 2 over made the cut, and he was in that group. So he gets to hang around for the weekend.
Very cool. And you can't count him out. I know he can come back and just go crazy here.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and especially with Rory leading the tournament, you kind of almost never know what you're going to get from Rory on kind of a day-by-day basis. So, I mean, I know he shot 66-66 these next 2 days, but that doesn't mean that he's not going to go out tomorrow and shoot 76 and move everybody back in the tournament. So it'll be fun to watch. And see, this is old-time Sports Time Radio, because remember when we had to do the show when Dan was at work?
Yeah, it's old-time. Yeah, I got a whole operation that's running, and I got guys like somebody who's kind of filling in, keeping it running. But apparently, they had a question they needed help with. So,
tell them you're on lunch for the next 45 minutes, and you can't be bothered.
That's what I told them. So, we're good.
So we'll have to see how that goes. As long as there's no helicopter noise.
Yeah, you won't get one from me.
Of course, then again, I do kind of miss the old helicopter, so maybe you could bring it back just for old time's sake. And, you know, I don't know. I wonder if you can still archive those episodes. I wonder if people can still go in and hear the old helicopter while Dan was at work. But who knows? Oh, but I did see that, you know, just because you have the number one overall pick in baseball doesn't mean it's going to help your franchise. Did you see the Astros couldn't sign their guy, Brady Aiken?
Yeah, I saw that they were running out of time. I didn't see that the time had elapsed and they weren't unable to sign him.
Yeah, today was it. They had until I don't know what the official time was today, but they had until sometime today to get him under contract, and they couldn't do it. So now the kid can either go. He's got an offer to go to UCLA, which I'm guessing he'll do, and we'll see if he gets picked next year. But he is the third number one overall pick to not be signed. Tim Belcher wasn't signed when he was the number one pick. And the other one, oddly, was Danny Goodwin, who I believe was the number one pick of the Chicago White Sox, like in the 70s. But I know the Astros also didn't. I missed out on this guy's first name, but his last name was Nix. He was another one of their top picks. I think he might have been their third-round draft pick. And they were unable to get him under contract, too. So it's nice that you have this, you know, high up, interesting draft position, man. But you got to get these guys signed.
Now, since I haven't seen it, why were they unable to? Was it a money issue? Was it?
Yeah. They couldn't come to terms. They couldn't come to money. So. But I know there was a report leaked that he was having Aiken was having arm issues. They thought they had found something in his arm, and I believe that lowered the Astros' offer considerably because, you know, they were thinking obviously he was going to have to turn around and either need to be rested or rehabbed or possibly, you know, the famous Tommy John surgery, which I think every pitcher gets anyways. And, yeah, he just decided not to go with their offer, and, I mean, that's a I think that's a big gamble for a kid that age because, I mean, now, you know, even if he goes to UCLA, he can blow his arm out there just as easily and get nothing.
Yeah, you just wonder about the risk-reward. And I don't know if you know, but who's his agent?
I don't know. Well, I'm guessing since he's going to UCLA, he probably never signed with anybody. Because I don't know. I know, like, in football you can't sign. I wonder in baseball if that affects your amateur status. So, because yeah, that would be. I'll have to see. Let me see if I can find it on Dan's favorite search engine here. I'll pull up Bing on the computer and see if we can hunt down some information about this gentleman, and maybe he will. It will let us know who his agent is.
He's got ulnar issue.
Yeah.
Is what they're saying. I'm looking at pulling it up now to see.
But yeah, I mean, even so, it's still a big deal to not sign your number one pick. Of course, you know, again, like I said, if he does have some type of arm issue or if something, you know, something is going on with him, you know, he may have just done the Astros a favor by them not having to commit, you know, years and money to this guy. Cause well, I mean, I know the top picks don't make a ton of money, but they still do pretty well. His agent is a fellow by the name of Casey Close.
Okay, so here's what they're saying. A person with knowledge of the situation told the Chronicle on Tuesday that there is a cut-and-dry issue with the anatomy of Aiken's unilateral ligament. Even though he is currently able to pitch, Aiken has visited five doctors, the person said, two affiliated with the team and three who were not, including the renowned Dr. James Andrews. He might have some sort of UCL, but not much. The person said, adding that Tommy John surgery, which has become commonplace in baseball, would not be a straightforward solution in this instance. So he's got an issue, it sounds like. Tommy John's not a solution at this point in time, so they're unsure of what's going to happen with him going forward, and that's why they were unable to come to an agreement.
Ah, well, here, his agent released this statement saying, "We are extremely disappointed that Major League Baseball is allowing the Astros to conduct business in this manner. with a complete disregard for the rules governing the draft and the 29 other clubs who have to follow those same rules. What happened was when the arm issue came up, the article here, I've got this article on NBC Sports, it mm-hmm. said that the Astros were trying to play hardball with him in order to get him to agree to a lower-than-expected bonus with the signing deadline looming today. And now, you know, if I'm you or if you're the Astros, do you blame them for wanting him to take a little less money if he's got an arm issue?
No, especially if you think it's going to be a long-term investment. You don't want to put all that money up front, I would imagine.
So, yeah, I understand, obviously, the agent is disappointed because you're not getting the number one type money you're looking for. But, you know, yeah, I think the Astros are a little smart here to protect themselves and not just, you know, throw good money after bad, so to speak.
Yeah, no, I can't fault them. And I don't know what the recourse is if they're stuck I know they slot money for draft picks, and when you're in the, you know, first overall pick, if you offer less than what's, you know, slotted for that, is there any recourse to the team? And I'm assuming there's not, considering they did it. If there was something that would come back at them, I would imagine that they wouldn't make that move.
So, yeah, I'm assuming, I think you can sign guys pretty much for whatever you can get them to sign for. You know, if you happen to get it a little lower, I think that's okay. But, I guess my other question becomes here. Now, if you're a major league team, and now the Astros get the number two pick next season because of these non-signings.
Mm-hmm.
If you're sitting there at number one and more it's looking like the Rangers may be sitting there at one number one, is this going to hurt Brady Aiken's chances of, you know, being drafted now that he has what's referred to in this article as abnormalities in his arm?
Well, I'd imagine his stock would go way down. I mean, the best thing the kid needs to do is go out and, you know, for UCLA and have a banner year and have no arm issues. You know, if he does, then somebody's going to take a flyer on him. But I wouldn't imagine it's going to be with a top pick.
So, yeah, I wouldn't think so. Wouldn't think so either. But, you know, again, you never know what goes on with these guys. And
yeah, but they offered him a $5 million signing bonus. I mean, at that point, if you're worried about your arm, if you've got an abnormality, even if you're getting lowballed, I'm taking the $5 million and trying to, you know, let them pay for the surgery and my rehab and everything instead of me doing it on my dime.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, well, I'm assuming, you know, in certain circumstances, if he's going to school, you know, he would still be covered by his family's insurance. But, yeah, you would think he would want, you know, a professional basically rehab and everything to go with it. Not saying that UCLA isn't going to know what they're doing if he needs the surgery, but I don't know. It didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but, what do I know? I know I'm looking here, and it looks like I don't know if there was a late signing here because this article was published pretty early in the day, but I know the Nationals were down to the wire with their first pick, Eric, I'm guessing it's Fedde, F-E-D-D-A, who's a 6'6", 235-pound right-hander. So it's I don't know if he managed to land a signature on the contract or if he was returning to wherever he was going, but that's just another name that was out there as I'm looking for seeing if there's a list or something I can pick up, but it does not look like it, so we'll just have to deal with that and you'll have to, search out your own team. But apparently the majority of them signed. I know both guys locally here were signed. So I know for a while the White Sox were having a little issue with their guy. Was it Carlos Rondon?
But, yeah, I believe so. He's Scott Burris' agent, yeah.
which explains why there was an issue. You all you got to do is say the name, and you automatically know there's going to be an issue signing the player. But he's under contract. I know there was even some talk of him possibly coming up in September, so that would be interesting. But I would be a little surprised if that happened. I think they would probably try to find a...
Yeah, the White Sox said that they want him up this year, that it's kind of a similar situation to Chris Sale. That's what they did with Sale, where Sale came up through the organization really fast. And they don't think he's going to start, that he'll come up like Sale did in the bullpen at first, and then they'll move him. But they expect him to have major league action this year.
Oh, well, that'll be interesting. If he's as talented as Chris Sale, that would be a big deal. But I'm assuming that's not a not as easy to do as people think. So that we'll have to see how that works out. But I know I read something, or I didn't say I read. I didn't read it. I actually heard it, and I'm going to have to see if I can pull it up for this season, because I wanted your thoughts on this, where I saw that, you know, Ron Jaworski puts out every year his quarterback rankings.
Mm-hmm.
It's always kind of a big deal that he gets his rankings out there, and you know everything is good to go. And this year, Jay Cutler came in at 15.
Yep, and that's kind of where everybody's been putting him at this year, and it's all based on performance and past results, which I get, and I don't have a problem with it. It doesn't mean he's not a good quarterback. There's quarterback depth is pretty deep, you know, right now in the NFL. You know, the top 20, 25, you're half, you know, you're pretty excited to have it. You know, when you get below that, then it gets a little iffy, but doesn't mean he's not a good player. It just means he hasn't produced yet, which he hasn't until last year. And then his years in Denver.
I think it means Ron Jaworski thinks he's a bad player. And
no, I don't think that's it at all. So, and then next year, you know, after he sets all these franchise records again and he has a healthy year, he's going to be, you know, a top 10 quarterback.
You know, and God forbid, you know, they just can't give me his rankings. You know, I just can't find a list of his rankings. There's got to be a bunch of garbage going through it for me to be able to find them. But apparently Matt Cassel was the lowest ranked quarterback on his list.
Huh. So what number did he go to?
I think he actually went to 32.
Okay.
Again, I'm having there's no, like, you can't just pull something up that gives you the list. When you search it, you just get random things like Alex Smith is 17 and Chad Henne is 27. So you can't find just, all I want is the list. That's all I want to find. So we can go through the list.
Uh-huh.
And it, of course, magically is not here. So I'm actually going to go to I'm going to go to Mickey Mouse's website and see if Mickey Mouse will give me the list without having to have to jump through a bunch of hoops. But I'm guessing that's a huge no here with this site, because I know they want you to do all that other fun stuff. So
okay, well, while you're looking, I'm gonna read off some names here. I've got a list of free agent NFL players. Since you're going with the NFL, I'll stick with the NFL theme here. And tell me which one of these guys are going to find a job this year. These are guys that, as of right now, are unsigned, okay? So we'll start with Ronnie Brown. You know, obviously, he's one of the dynamic running backs in the NFL at one point. Last year, he was a backup in San Diego. He's unsigned. You know, his big note for last year was he had the 58-yard touchdown run against the Bengals in the first round of the playoffs. Josh Cribbs. I know you've been a big Josh Cribbs fan forever. He's if you're looking for a returner, he's a decent returner. He also plays, you know, wide receiver. I don't know what you want to do, you know, what you want to do with him. Jermichael Finley, who's coming off his neck injury, and he's got a big decision to make. He's got a $10 million insurance policy that if he decides to sign with the team and go, he loses out on that $10 million for his insurance policy. That, you know, if the injury ends his career, he gets to collect on. Josh Freeman, James Harrison, San Antonio Holmes, Richie Incognito, Ed Reed, Asante Samuel, Tim Tebow, Jonathan Vilma, Kellen Winslow Jr., Eric Winston. So out of these names, is there anybody that you that just pops out at you said, this guy's going to be signed, how is he still not here, or how is he still not on a team?
Well, actually, I'm not surprised any of these guys are on this list, you know, just as you're going over it. None of that surprises me at all. I can see why, you know, all these guys are out there and all that other fun stuff that goes with it. I won't be surprised if, like, Ronnie Brown ends up somewhere, if maybe an injury happens somewhere down the line, you know, in training camp, and, you know, Ronnie Brown gets a job, or, you know, I'm trying to think who else you said. There were quite a few of those guys. But, you know, like, I don't know. I mean, at this point in time in his career, does James Harrison help a team?
I think if in a limited role, I think if you have him as a, you know, in passing situations to rush the passer, that kind of thing, you know, he was, you know, he always was a menace to quarterbacks. But I think unless it's a really limited role like that, he's not an every down player anymore, and he's probably not even a two down player anymore. So I think that unless it's the right situation, the answer is no.
So, yeah, I mean, there weren't any names that, like, jumped off the page there, you know, that you just, you know, had to have. You know, you got to run out and you know, go get this guy or go get that guy. So, I don't think, it won't surprise me if some of these guys get picked up and they end up being signed somewhere. But,
Yeah, there's only two guys on this list that really jumped out at me that I couldn't, or I guess there's three guys that I could make a case for will have an opportunity. Josh Freeman, I don't know why this guy's still out there. You know, he's got to be better than somebody's third quarterback, and most teams carry three quarterbacks. There's very few that run with two. He's young enough where you could still kind of groom him, and maybe he's a guy who can fill in, if your main guy goes down for a couple of weeks, like in Chicago, and maybe make a name for himself and, you know, bring or revitalize his career. So Josh Freeman's number one on the list for me. The next guy who I'm kind of surprised is still there is if Jonathan Vilma's knees, you know, his knees doing fine, then I don't know why he wouldn't be, you know, playing. I think he still has something left. But the knee injury would be, you know, the issue that he had. And then the last guy I saw that I was kind of wondering about is Santonio Holmes is only 30 years old. There's got to be a team that's looking for a third or fourth receiver that he's got to be able to be productive and help you. He's not going to be a superstar anymore, but I would imagine he's got some value.
Yeah, well, you know, I know there were a lot of rumors out there about him being signed. So, you know, you wonder why he's still sitting there. Why nobody has bothered to just, you know, or, of course, then again, you always wonder, you know, there is the chance that, you know, a lot of these veteran guys like to find their way out of training camp. So he may be a guy, not saying he is, he may just be waiting around until training camp is partially over or half over before he decides he's going to sign somewhere.
I know, but from a fantasy perspective, when a player misses training camp, they're irrelevant in the season. If you're in a skill position, if you're wide receiver or running back, tight end, if you don't show up to training camp and you don't get those reps, you're irrelevant. And it's happened. We see it every year.
That's what's been proven throughout our fantasy league. Of course, the problem with that is that doesn't change the way these guys feel. You know, they don't want to go to camp. They want to get paid just to show up and play football. So, you know, that's the tag you get to deal with these guys. And, I know Holmes is coming off a Liz Frank injury that basically bothered him for two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's another guy you got to look at and wonder, well, is this guy healthy? What's the problem with him? But I know I thought the Cowboys kicked the tires on Jonathan Vilma when Sean Lee went down, and they decided to go another direction. So, yeah, I guess that would bring up my question of how healthy is he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because remember, he was he was a good player for such a long time. So I just kind of surprised that if he's got two healthy wheels, that somebody doesn't have him out there.
Yeah, you do wonder kind of why, there's got to be something wrong, or, you never know, maybe he's just not completely healthy. I mean, of course, he is coming up on, 9 or 10 years in the league. So mm-hmm. he's got to be, 32, 33?
Yeah, he's up there. But some defensive players, can play that long, and if you need him in running situations and stuff, he's a tackler. So, or short down situations, stuff like that, you'd want him in there, I think, if he can get the motor.
I mean, you would think he would add to, some team, that could, he could help out, down the line, or even as a backup, he might be able to, fill in and kind of be almost like a mentor at that, mm-hmm. At that point with some of these guys. But yeah, you just kind of wonder.
Yeah, the only problem with being
if there's a little something more.
Yeah, the problem with him being a mentor, though, is remember he was the ringleader, or he got hung out to dry as the ringleader in the New Orleans Bounty program. So so you just wonder what kind of guy he is in the locker room if he was the one orchestrating that whole fiasco.
Yeah, I guess that is, you wonder if part of the problem is the fact that he only played one game last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you wonder about that. The year before that, he only played 11, and then in 2011, he only played 11 again. So he has been banged up. He's had one sack in three seasons, basically.
Hmm.
So, yeah, you wonder maybe there's nothing left in the tank. Who knows? But, again, you would think if something happens, somebody's going to be ringing his phone. You just got to kind of wonder... wonder what goes on with some of these guys. But, football's like that. It just kind of randomly ends, for certain guys. They almost literally just disappear.
Yep. It seems like it's very unceremonious. When baseball, when you get a legend, and I don't know if I'd call any of these guys legends, but when you get a really solid, really good player going, everybody kind of knows, and it's much different, I think, in baseball when a guy leaves than in football. In football, it's just kind of, all right, it's just another guy. You can't make the team. He's gone. Move on. They don't embrace the past. They're always looking to the future. And in baseball, it's more about the numbers. It's more about history, and it's more about embracing what guys do when guys leave the game. If they've been a superstar or even a top star, there's a lot more that goes into when they leave. They make a bigger deal out of it that they're moving on.
Unless, of course, you're Tony Gwynn, and then they leave Yadier Molina. But that's a different story.
Yeah.
There's a minute left live in the show. There is, of course, a 15-minute overrun in the Blog Talk archives. You can get in there. Hunt down Sports Time Radio. The name of today's show is Gotta Get Down on Friday. So find us for 15 minutes more of God only knows what we'll end up talking about. But, that's how it goes. Come back on Sunday. Mr. Fantasy and I are here again at 11 a.m. But as always, check out sportstimeradio.com. Get over to the Twitter feed, hang out with the Facebook page, and read the new blog tomorrow as we roll out of here. Roll out. now we go rolling into overtime, and I assume we should probably change the topic here, and let's see who are we looking at to have, you know, big second half fantasy baseball halves that people wouldn't be thinking might work out that way.
I wish I was more prepared for this. I wasn't expecting this. I don't have a list for you.
You're never prepared for any of this when we do this, so that's nothing new.
I'm always prepared. You are so full
of it. When was the last time you were prepared for a show?
Every time I show up.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're not prepared now, so look at that.
I wasn't expecting that. You kind of threw me for a loop here, but I can get prepared
I'm
pretty
ready.
Quick.
I just came up with a topic, and I'm ready for it.
Okay, well, you start, and I'll jump in here.
That's just how you are. I mean, I guess more importantly, is there anybody out there who's going to be willing at all to take a chance on Dan Uggla?
No.
You think he's done?
Yeah, I think he's done, and, you know, the that's just a huge nut to swallow to, when they release him, they're still responsible for $19 million on Uggla's contract through the end of 2015. And you know, here's some numbers for you for Uggla. You say I'm not prepared, but his Brave career, here were his numbers as a Brave, not as, you know, any place else. He had a .209
right.
batting average. He hit 79
Ooh.
Homers, drove in 225 RBIs, had a .317 base or on base percentage, 243 walks, 535 strikeouts. He sent the franchise single season strikeout record in 2011, and then he beat it in 2012, and then beat it again in 2013.
Woohoo!
So,
see, that's good. At least he's accomplishing something. You know.
Yeah. So coming off that that career he had, I don't think he's gonna do much. He did have a 33-game hitting streak in 2011, but that was, I think, his high point of his career as a Brave.
So, all right, well, let's see. I just got tossed off my site, but here's a question for you. Let's say, I don't know. You happen to have. And, you know, an above-average first baseman with, you know, a little name value.
Okay.
You know, that, you know, let's, I'm trying to come up with a good name that would really fit. But maybe you have, like, an Albert Pujols or, you know, a guy like that who, when, you know, you see the name, you think, okay, maybe there's something here. Or even a Joe Mauer who's going to be coming back from injury soon. You know, there's a little name value there. Would it be smart of, like, maybe a fantasy player to, you know, go out and move like a Pujols or a Mauer and kind of get rid of the name guy if he has, like, a Matt Adams on his bench backing up who's, when he plays, is a monster? You know, he was a little dinged up. He's missed about 10 or 15 games this year, but he seems to be back and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, or do you think, you know, riding it out with a Pujols or a Mauer, or let's even throw Adrian Gonzalez in there because people would know his name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have Adrian Gonzalez and you're in a league with Dan, you can just deal him to Dan because he will take him. But, you know, do you think that would be, a smarter move for a guy?
It would depend. It would depend on who the first baseman was. If you Pujols, I'm not moving Pujols right now. He's one of the hottest first basemen, and I wouldn't want to take a chance on a guy like Matt Adams when I've got that much power coming, you know, that much production coming out of a guy, unless you have a huge need at a position. If you've got a need that, you know, at a position that's just killing you, then I would be okay making the move. But if you could get somebody to take Adrian Gonzalez or, some of these other guys that we've been talking about, a Mauer, you know, Mauer's not going to give you a whole lot of power. I would probably go ahead and do that.
All right. Well, speaking of not a whole lot of power, there's a guy who plays third base in Miami that's putting up really good numbers.
Yep.
You know, .319, 53 RBIs, but he's a third baseman, and he has one home run.
Yes.
Can you stay with this guy and win, or do you have to go out and search for a little bit of a power guy? I mean, do you need that influx there? I mean, obviously you can cover it up at other positions, but one home run is really weak for a regular third baseman. I mean, there's nobody else on the board. You know, I think the next guy next to him has four.
I know, but third base this year seems to be a just a weak position this year in both leagues. I mean, if you go through, Todd Frazier is at 19 this year, which is a surprise. You know, Miguel Cabrera is back at first, so next year he's not going to be eligible. This year, you know, he still is,
dude,
but he's fourth.
What are you talking about? Mike Hall has 12 bombs as a part-time player. What do you mean weak?
It's weak. There's not as much depth when you're looking through here.
You're nuts here. Donaldson has 20.
Yep,
you mentioned Frazier has 19.
Yep.
Alvarez and Seager are both at 15. Juan Francisco's at 14, and he's a part-time guy. Beltre and Rondon are at 13, and then Lowry and Alter at 12. You got Dominguez, Longoria, Aramis, who's back and healthy, and Sandoval at 11.
Mm-hmm.
That's plenty of guys. There's a guy at one.
I'm saying it's
Machado's up to 9, and he was gone for the first month and a half of the season.
I'm not saying weak, like they're not. There's nobody hitting home runs. It's just not the power position it used to be. Typically, your third basemen would be among the league leaders in home runs, and they're not this year.
Well, to be fair, it did go down once Cabrera left the position. Not a whole lot you can do about that. So,
no, I understand, but I'm just saying there's not as much power being generated out of these positions. And the guy we're talking about is Casey McGahee, and he's hitting .319 on the season.
What'd you call him?
He's got What'd
you call him?
Casey McGahee.
Oh, okay.
You know, he still has 21 doubles. He's got 92 singles, but he still drove in 53 runs, which isn't too bad.
Well,
he's still up with these other guys.
You know, I mean, now to be fair, Donaldson is in the top 10 for home run hitters.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's right there.
Okay. So you got one. Traditionally, though, third base has been one of your power positions. It would be the guys would be ranked among the top that you'd find, you know, and you'd be looking for those guys. It's just, it's not. So can you get away with a guy who's getting on base a lot, who's driving in some runs, you know, who's walking? You can. As long as you have power in other positions.
Or you need a man at third base who can take the ball out of the yard. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. You know, I'm just looking at, and I pull up and I've got, you know, our league, our money league up, and this is just among players that are eligible at third base. Doesn't necessarily mean that they play third base every day, you know, because you got like Anthony Rendon in there, and you know, Matt Carpenter's in there because he's third base eligible. So you got some other guys that are in here.
Considering Carpenter plays third base every day, it's probably okay that he's eligible there.
Oh yeah, you know what? I got him. And they got him listed as second base here,
He should be eligible for that too. He played it last year. He should be eligible there.
No,
as well.
I know, but they have him listed as a second baseman. Third base eligibility. And I should have known that when we're going through it. But he's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He's 8th highest scorer among third basemen. So it puts you in the top 10. If you've got a top 10 at every position, you're happy.
Well, some of us are happy. So.
Yeah.
He is. I will give Casey McGee his credit. He does have more hits than any other third baseman. He is 10 hits ahead of Todd Frazier, and Frazier actually has a game in hand. So...
And you know what?
Like a guy like McGee, though, he's had some power years. I mean, not huge, but he's done okay for himself. So you wonder, you know, did going to Japan last year short out his power? What happened?
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe he just got to be a smarter hitter. Because has he ever hit Has he ever been at 318 in his career?
Well, it's 319 according to MLB.com. And if you give me a second here, if my computer will work fast enough for me, I can actually tell you. Let's see. He hit 360 in Class A ball in 2012, but that probably doesn't count.
No.
Let's see. I got 285 in 2010, 301 in 2009. Those are his two best years.
Okay. So maybe
you do know, by the way, that, you do know, by the way, that Casey McGee is a former Cub, in case Dan is listening. So how would he look at third base right now? Of course, they would. Of course, the Cubs not like to take at bats away from Luis Valbuena, so that is okay.
Yes. So you know you can, especially if you get power somewhere else, and if you got, you know, if you've got him sitting at third, then you took a flyer on him late because he wasn't somebody who was a high.
Or you picked him up off the waiver wire.
Yes, which is what happened with us. He's your guy, and here I am defending him for you.
All right. Well, I want to play a new game with you here.
Okay.
So we're going to play a game. This game is we're going to call, you know, would you rather? Okay.
Okay.
So my question for you is, would you rather have Jonathan LaCroix? Or would you rather have Buster Posey for the rest of the year? Not what they've done so far, the rest of the year.
I'm taking LaCroix.
McCroix or LaCroix?
LaCroix.
Oh, okay. The best part is when you try to pronounce these names. These are fantastic.
Yeah.
So that's why I like to play. That's why I like to play these games.
Yeah, I'm going with the Brewers catcher.
All right. Well, would you rather have Salvador Perez? Or let's go with Miguel Montero for the rest of the year.
Hmm. You know, my gut says I'd rather go with Perez for the rest of the year. But it's close, but I'm going to go with Perez. I'd rather have him for the rest of the year.
All right. We'll do one more catcher, would you rather, here before I move on to my next position. Would you rather have Jared Saltalamacchia for the rest of the year? Or... would you rather have Jason Castro?
I'd rather have Jason Castro. He's been producing huge. Salty's had a bit of a resurgence this year in Miami. But,
well, I know,
Jason,
I know Castro's been struggling a little bit lately, so I wasn't sure how far down your board he had went.
No,
so.
his knock is he's only hitting .232, but he's still getting on base. He's hitting for a little power. I would probably rather, I think I would rather have Castro for the rest of the year.
All right, well, we'll move on here. Would you rather have Jose Altuve for the rest of the year or...
it doesn't matter who you say.
Robinson Cano.
You know what? I have to go with Altuve for the rest of the year.
I'll see how you are. Okay, now... Now I'm gonna work you here a little bit just because I know you. I'm gonna give you three this time. Would you rather have Colton Wong for the rest of the year?
Yep.
Would you rather have Tommy La Stella for the rest of the year, or would you rather have Jed Jerko for the rest of the year?
You know what? Even though Wong has been a disappointment, I think that's where I'm gonna go.
Well, he hasn't been a huge disappointment. He struggled early. They sent him down.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's been better. It's just interesting. I don't know if Jerko is off the DL yet, but,
yeah.
You know, we'll see. So, all right, well, it looks like maybe we can squeeze one more in here real quick. So let's go with, let me hunt something interesting up here. All right, are you sure you're ready for this?
I'm going to try.
All right, would you rather have Mark Melancon for the rest of the year, Zach Britton for the rest of the year, or Steve Cishek for the rest of the year?
So you're going with far down in the bullpen here on this one for me. I'm going to go with Britton for the rest of the year.
Hey, you don't like Cishek, even though the Marlins have been doing real well? And
yeah, no, I think he's been good, but and usually, you know, I want to stay with guys, you know. I think it's a toss-up, and you're kind of convincing me or swaying things